Well, slow down, Josh.
Okay. Here we go. You guys ready?
Okay.
No, what did you say, Jonah?
John chapter 17. We're not going back to Jonah. You already did that. I am going to read out of the Passion.
Good.
Theologians, don't judge me. Okay, so let's pray. God, we thank you so much for today, for the chance to get together and celebrate life, to celebrate your rising from the dead, your conquering death. And I just pray that you will open up our minds to gain more insight and knowledge about you, about who you are, about who we are in you. Thank you for friends and family, and God, thank you that we have the desire to be together. God, and I thank you for those that aren't able to be with us this morning, God, that you would keep them safe where they are. God, that you would help them to feel your presence and connected with you. And I just speak against loneliness and isolation. And God, I just pray that in this moment, this will be a way for our hearts right now to connect with each other, God, even if it's through a screen. So thank you for family, for community, and thank you for your sacrifice and your power and your resurrection. Amen. Amen. Okay, we are going to read all of chapter 17. I was reading this the other day, a couple days ago, and so this is Jesus praying for his disciples and praying for us. And there's some real beautiful truths here. And then we're going to go to a few other scriptures to talk about, like, what does it mean for us right now that he has risen? Like, how does that play out in our lives? So read along with your screen or sit. You can listen, however, but I am going to read the whole thing. And then I want to pull out some truths. So it says, this is what Jesus prayed as he looked up into heaven. So chapter 17, verse 1. Father, the time has come. Unveil the glorious splendor of your Son, so that I may magnify your glory. You've already given me authority over all people, so that I may give the gift of eternal life to all those that you have given to me. Eternal life means to know and experience you as the only true God, and to know and experience Jesus Christ as the Son whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth by faithfully doing everything you've told me to do. So my Father, restore me back to the glory that we shared together when we were face to face, before the universe was created. Father, I have manifested who you really are, and I have revealed you to the men and women that you gave to me. They were yours, and you gave them to me. And they have fastened your word firmly in their hearts. And now, at last, they know that everything I have is a gift from you. And the very words you gave to me to speak, I have passed on to them. They have received your words and carry them in their hearts. They are convinced that I have come from your presence, and they have fully believed that you sent me to represent, you sent me to represent you. So, with deep love, I pray for my disciples. I'm not asking on behalf of the unbelieving world, but for those who belong to you, those you have given me. For all who belong to me now belong to you, and all who belong to you now belong to me as well. And my glory is revealed through their surrendered lives. Holy Father, I'm about to leave this world, to return and be with you, but my disciples will remain here. So I ask that by the power of your name, protect each one that you have given me, and watch over them, so that they will be united as one, even as we are one. While I was with these that you have given me, I have kept them safe by your name that you have given me. Not one of them is lost, except the one that was destined to be lost so that the scripture would be fulfilled. But now, I'm returning to you, so Father, I pray that they will experience and enter into my joyous delight in you, so that it is fulfilled in them and overflows. I have given them your message, and that is why the unbelieving world hates them. For their allegiance is no longer to this world, because I am not of this world. I'm not asking that you remove them from the world, but I ask that you guard their hearts from evil. for they no longer belong to this world any more than I do. Your word is truth, so make them holy by the truth. I have commissioned them to represent me, just as you commissioned me to represent you. And now I dedicate myself to them as a holy sacrifice, so that they will live as fully dedicated to God and be made holy by your truth. And I ask, not only for these disciples, but also for all those who will one day believe in me through their message. I pray for them all to be joined together as one. Even as you and I, Father, are joined together as one, I pray for them to become one with us, so that the world will recognize that you sent me. For the very glory you have given to me, I have given them, so that they will be joined together as one and experience the same unity that we enjoy. You live fully in me, and now I live fully in them, so that they will experience perfect unity, and the world will be convinced that you have sent me, for they will see that you love each one of them, I love this part, with the same passionate love that you have for me. Father, I ask that you allow everyone that you have given to me to be with me where I am. Then they will see my full glory, the very splendor you have placed upon me, because you have loved me even before the beginning of time. You are my righteous Father, but the unbelieving world has never known you in the perfect way that I know you, and all those who believe in me also know that you have sent me. I have revealed to them who you are, and I will continue to make you even more real to them, so that they may experience the same endless love that you have for me, for your love will now live in them, even as I live in them. I feel like a lot of times, you know, when we hear Easter messages, this isn't really what I hear talked about a lot, right? So it's when he died, it's when he rose again, and those are great parts of the story, but this prayer, he knows what's going to be happening to him, and he knows that he's going back to the Father. And so there's some really beautiful things in here that I want to pull out. Here, join. Oh, you want to come a little closer? Just so you guys can see. Joel, there he is. There he is. Okay, so in the beginning of the chapter, it says, talks about eternal life. It says, verse 2, you've already given me authority over all people so that I may give the gift. This is what he gives to us. Because of his resurrection, he gives this to us. The gift of eternal life to all those that you have given to me. Eternal life means to know and experience you as the only true God and to know and experience Jesus Christ as the Son whom you have sent. When he died and he rose again, part of what happened was a new covenant was created. And so prior to this, people were still under the old covenant. And because of that, God didn't reside in people. He communicated with people, but he didn't reside in people. It was the old covenant. And so there was still needed to be the temple, and that's really where God was. So people had to go there to communicate. They needed priests to do certain things for them. When Jesus died and rose again, that's when the old covenant ended, and that's when the new covenant started, and Jesus and God then resided in the people and became one with the people. That's a beautiful thing that we get to be a part of. So we are adopted into that covenant. When we say yes, we're a part of that new covenant. And so eternal life begins now. And I was talking to Aaron a little bit earlier. I was just sharing some stuff that, things I've been reading and just everything that's been going on in our lives right now. And one of the things that Aaron brought up was just there's a lot of fear of death, right? And I think that's one of the big things that people have is this fear of death. And what God is saying is like, the life that we have here is just a part of what eternity is going to be. And that's knowing him. And this is a deep knowing, not just knowing about, but an intimacy, knowing God and knowing Jesus, being a part of them. And throughout this chapter, as he talks, he's saying that the people would become one with us, right? Not that we would just like be Lord over them, but they would become one with us because I'm in them and you are in me and now we're together. And I was just going to say in unity. I'm rhyming. Sorry. Okay. So that reality that we are part of this new covenant, right? We get to start eternal life now. If Jesus had died and that's it, the old covenant would have been paid for, would have been paid off. The debt would have been paid. We would have been forgiven for everything. But because he came back to life, we are given eternal life. So if it wasn't for him coming back to life and conquering death, not just being a sacrifice for sin and to the old covenant, but conquering death, bringing us into life, that's where eternity started. That's where that direct connection and intimacy with God was formed. That's where the new covenant was established, because in his new life, the covenant was between Jesus as perfect conqueror of death and God as perfect. And now because we're in Jesus, we're in a perfect covenant. Jesus can't break the covenant. God can't break the covenant. Because we're in Jesus, we are in a perfect covenant that we can't break. It's unbreakable. Now, we could choose to leave the covenant. That's a choice. Or we could choose to not enter in it. But the covenant that is there, we cannot break. And as long as we have a yes to Jesus and we are in him, we are part of that covenant. No matter the bad things that we might do and the ways that we slip up in our lives, if we say yes to him, we are in Jesus and we are in that covenant and it cannot be broken. We can't be the reason that that covenant breaks. And we are not a reason why God would not remove himself from us. We have that choice to either be in it or out. But eternity starts now. Eternal life starts now, knowing him, intimately knowing him. I think that's really, it's incredible. What his life did, and like that he conquered death, and that miracle in itself, just that he conquered death, is amazing. But it's because now we are in his life. Right? We are a part of his life. We're a part of his eternity being in him. So I want to pull out a few other things that he said in here. One of the things, his desire for the people, his disciples, that they would be one. They wouldn't be fractured. They wouldn't be separate, right? That's still God's heart and desire for the churches around the globe. We're not doing a great job with that. Which is really sad, but that is something that we need to continue to pursue, how to love each other, even in the differences. And then he says, God, that they would enter into my joyous delight and that it would overflow. And that's the word that God gave me for this year is joy. Joy, just marking this year and learning about what joy means. And joy in the Bible is, grace recognized. So understanding his grace is sufficient for us, right? And so joyous delight, delighting in the grace that is sufficient for us and that it would overflow. It would overflow out of us, that we would have a joy that's centered in knowing that we're his. He also said that you would protect them. And when I read that, it kind of made me stop for a second. And I believe that God is physically present in this world. I do. And I believe that there are miracles that take place. And I believe that there are ways that God intervenes. But I don't believe that that protection is actually a physical protection in here. And the reason for that is because later he says that you would keep them from the evil one. Most of his disciples, of Jesus' disciples, died as martyrs. Horrific deaths. Does that mean that God wasn't protecting them? And I think that's a question to be thinking about. God is our protector. He is our provider. He's our defender. But the bigger picture is eternity. The bigger picture is keeping us safe from the evil one. And I wish that it was like that life would be grand and perfect here. Like I really do wish it was that way. But then it would be heaven, right? And so if all of that evil and everything or all that hurt and pain was taken away, we would be in heaven. It would be the end. And that's what we have to look forward to. And I see it. So I think not in a negative of like God's not protecting us. He is. And I know that there are stories. I know that there's a time when my parents or my mom was driving us and it was a very slick road. And we were going down a hill. I just remember the story. I don't remember being in the car. But we started sliding and sliding off of the road. And my mom felt something actually push the car back on the road. Like angels are here. I really believe that. I believe that there is protection, but I do not believe that everything bad will be stopped. Because if everything bad was stopped, we would be in heaven. We're still in a hurting world. We're still in a world that is dying. It is full of death, but we have life that surpasses the physical death here. Does that make sense? Are you guys with me? So when he says protect them, it's protect them from being pulled away from the unity that we have with them. the connection they're going to have with us, that nothing would be able to remove them from the connection they have, the unity. And I think that that's really important for us to remember, that this is temporary. And it's beautiful. And I love my time, like with Joel and with my family. And it is beautiful, and there's beautiful things that happen, but it still is temporary. And there is an afterlife. And we need to hold on to that, and we need to remember that. It's not that we are longing, like, that we should want to end it now so that we get there, though it's much better than now. But, like, we have a reason for being here, and life can be beautiful here, but it still has hardships. And so, after this life, and we're already a part of it, we are a part of eternity. We are connected with Jesus and with God. And so I was wrestling with that when I read that. Okay, Jesus is asking God to protect his disciples. So I started thinking, so did God fail if they died as martyrs? Right? Did God then not answer Jesus' prayer? Well, that would be really weird, right? Like, God would just say, sorry, wasn't able to do that. So I think this idea of protection is bigger than just physically protecting them from things. It's protecting them from being pulled away from the connection and the relationship with Jesus and God. I don't know if that connects with you guys. Next, make them holy by truth. And we talk about truth a lot in our community. We need to continue to pursue, and that's why we always go back to this. That's why we spend time with God. We need to pursue truth, because that's what makes us holy. Because what truth does is it washes us. It cleanses away lies that keep us small. It helps us to live fully set apart for him. And truth is powerful. And I know a lot of people say, like, well, everybody has their own truth. And that's true in a worldly sense. We all kind of have our own truth of stories and the way that we look at things. But truth about who Jesus is, the Son of God, the Victor, the resurrected one, our Savior, who he is and what he did for us and who we can be in him, that is truth. That's not just like somebody's truth. That's God's truth. And that's what we need to continue to remind ourselves of, that we're his. That what he did made us to be able to be in a communion, a covenant with God, direct. And I think it's, anyway, it's incredible. So, few other things. He said that they would become one, but then they would become one with us. Talking about perfect unity, and that the perfect unity would convince the world that you sent me and love them with the same passionate love you have for me. So the way that God loves us, the way that we're in union with each other, the way that we love each other, and there's another scripture in the Bible, I don't remember the exact place, but it says that they will know you as his followers by the love you have for each other. Right? What we're doing right here, even though there's, what, how many? 8 screens here, right? There's like 12 of us. This is showing love for each other. We're taking time out of our day to say, hey, I see you. I recognize you. I want to grow with you. I care about this connection and this relationship. That's important. So, well done. All the other people, they'll have to answer for it. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Okay. Then he says that they would experience the same endless love that you have for me, for your love will live in them as I live in them. Endless love. It does not ever diminish, and his love never increases. I want you to think about that. God's love cannot diminish, and it cannot grow bigger than it is. His love is perfect, 100%. It's always there. It's always present. What we choose to receive, that might feel varied at times, but that's not his love. His love is perfect. So I just think about that. God's love can't grow and be more tomorrow than it was today, because then right now it's imperfect. If God's love is greater for me in a month, then right now it's not as great as it could be, and thus it's imperfect. His love is 100% perfect, all on, all the time, never diminishes and never increases. So, Next place that I want to go with this, and this is really where I want to end, because in his resurrection, we are resurrected with him into eternal life. And he says this in his prayer. He says, "Would you allow them to be with me where I am?" And where Jesus is, even when he is a man on earth, he's still with the Father, right? They are not separated. There's no way for God, like people have this weird way of saying, and there's a scripture people misquote. We've talked about this at church, but I want to remind you that it said when Jesus was on the cross, he says, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And so people took that as meaning that God turned his back on Jesus because he couldn't look at all the sin. That's not true. That was quoting a Psalms that started in that way, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" and is a prophecy about Jesus. And when you quote the beginning of a Psalm, you are saying the whole thing is what I'm referring to. So he wasn't saying God had forsaken him. He's saying the prophecies in this chapter, I am the fulfillment of them. God did not leave Jesus as he went and conquered death. God was with him in the grave. And so Jesus, even being man on earth, is still connected and with God in heaven. They are not separate. And so it's hard for our minds to comprehend that, but they are not separate. And so Jesus is, even when he's saying this prayer, he is on the throne. And when he's resurrected, he is on the throne, right? And then he's no longer in the physical form here, but he's with us in the spirit and inside of us. So he says, "I want them to be where I am." He wants us to be with him right next to the Father. So I want to look at a few other scriptures. We're going to go to Ephesians 2:6. And I love that Jesus conquered death, and I love that he came back to life, but I love even more what it means for us. Okay, Ephesians 2:6. My translation changes a few things, so it might read differently than yours, but he says, "He raised us up with Christ, the exalted one, and we ascended with him into the glorious perfection and authority of the heavenly realm, for we are now co-seated as one with Christ." Not we will be seated with Christ. We are now seated with Christ. So there's this idea of the now and not yet. The partial fulfillment of the promise and the greater promise fulfillment that's to come. So we are with Jesus, sitting next to the Father in unity with them, and yet we are still here. But in spirit, we are seated with him. We are with God, okay? In heavenly realm. And that, my mind, I can't comprehend that. So I'm just going to be honest. I'm not trying to pretend to you guys that I get this, you know, like in my mind. But it's that truth. It says that they will be made holy by truth. We have to grab hold of these truths, even if we don't fully understand them, to say that is mine. I am his, I am in him, I am with him. Eternity starts now. You with me? Yeah? Okay. So now I want to go to Colossians 3, 1 through 4. And it says very similar things. I always have a hard time finding Colossians. There it is. Okay. Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4. So, this is what his resurrection means for us now. It says, "Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. That's why we are to yearn for all that is above. For that's where Christ sits enthroned, at the place of all power, honor, and authority. Yes, feast on all the treasures of the heavenly realm, and fill your thoughts with heavenly realities, not with the distractions of the natural realm. Your crucifixion with Christ has severed the tie to this life, and now your true life is hidden away in God and Christ. And as Christ himself is seen for who he really is, who you really are will also be revealed, for you are now one with him in his glory. I want to read that last two verses again. Your crucifixion with Christ, we died with Christ. He didn't just die for us, we died with him. We died to the old man, we died to the old sin, right? We died to the old way of living. We died and we said, in him we conquered death as well. Death, the hold that it had over us was also broken off of us when we died to our old man. Your crucifixion with Christ has severed the tie to this life, and now your true life is hidden away in God in Christ. And as Christ himself is seen for who he really is, as he is revealed, who you really are will also be revealed, for you are now one with him in his glory. I don't fully understand who I am. And I bet that on this screen and most people walking on this earth don't fully understand who they are. That's continuing to be revealed as we live through this life and will be fully revealed who we really are when we are with him in heaven forever, right? When this temporary life is done. Now, when it says severing the ties to this world, what it means is like, I'm not longing just for this world, right? My heart is connected with him up there, but it doesn't mean that we don't live. And I think some of these things can be taken out of context and make people to start to live small. I'm not going to enjoy life. I'm just going to become stoic, right? I'm just going to read the Bible. I'm just going to pray in my closet. I'm never going to leave this place because I'm not going to be a part of the world. Well, we're also called to be lights, right? We're also called to love the world. You can't love the world just in your prayer closet. You can't love the world just say, I mean, right now it's hard. You know, we're feeling that. Like, it's really more challenging to really embrace and love people when you don't go out and be a part of the world, right? And so what it means is like, we're not supposed to act as the world does because we're not owned by the world. Right? We're not under the authority of Satan. Like, that's not who we are under. And so because we are under him, we get to live free now. We get to have choices and love freely now, purely now. And we have life. And that is so amazing. And with everything that's happening in this world, that is the one thing we are promised: eternal life in him. We're not promised that everything's going to be grand and happy every moment, right? That all only good things will happen down here. But we are promised that this is temporary. And after this life, there is greater to come. But we are a part of it now. We get to experience it now. We get to experience his kingdom coming here. We get to experience hearing for people. And so I want to just share a few stories, if it's okay, just from this last week. I want to learn to hear God more. And with even, like, I'm surprised at how busy I am staying in my home and not leaving. Like, I'm exhausted. I am so busy. Like, right?
Yeah.
Like it's not a lot of sitting around, you know? So, like, it's like a lot happening. And I'm like, God, I don't want to miss these opportunities to hear you. And so, a while ago, like, I was looking on Facebook and somebody who's part of Rev, I'm just not gonna say names, but anyway, their birthday popped up and I was like, oh, okay. And I felt like I got two words for them. I got the word fierce and gentle. They just popped in my head. I was like, okay. And so, and I don't always send people messages on their birthdays. I do sometimes, but sometimes I forget. And I was like, okay, I need to tell this to this person. So I was just saying, you know, happy birthday. I felt like I got these two words for you, fierce and gentle. And then I was looking up like fierce, like passionate and gentle. And I was giving some definitions. And I said, you know, I don't know if that means anything to you, but I just wanted to bless you. And I felt like that was for God or from God to you. And then the person responded and said, well, those are two of the like defining words for my Enneagram is fierce and gentle. So it's just like, I mean, it sounds like random words, and I'm like, okay, I'm kind of like making this step. I don't have any idea, you know, I'm putting it out there, and it's just, she's like, it's like this confirmation of like, this is part of who you are, and it's good, you know, like just these little things. The other night I had a dream, and I've been having a lot of weird dreams, but I'm not remembering all of them. And I woke up from a dream, and this guy that I was talking to said, or either told me, or I came to learn that he has like a tumor on the left side of his brain. And I was like, I don't know, what do you do with that? Like, I'm like, what does that even mean? I'm like starting to like, I was praying and then I called Tommy just because I'm like, you know, what do you think about this? Because he knows this person much better than I've like barely met them. And I was like, it's weird. I don't know why I had a dream about them, but this is, and so I was thinking about it and I sent the message to this person. And I was like, is there anything that maybe like a blockage in your mind, you know, like maybe for creativity, because the left side of the brain is creativity. And I was just asking some questions and the person's like, well, I felt a little bit, you know, stuck. And anyway, so but he's like, it is kind of freaking me out a little bit, you know? And I was like, okay, I don't want to cause fear. You know, like I'm kind of wrestling with this and there's a reason for this messiness as I'm sharing this with you, but because it was a risk. I don't know this person. And so in processing, and then I was responding to their message, and I just felt like God was starting to give some revelation of some things. And then this morning I got a message from this person just saying, you know what, as I looked back through everything you sent, I realized like I've really been living in a place of stress, and stress kills creativity. And I've been allowing stress to control me, and I need to not do that. I gotta let this go. And so it was just this realization of like, that is not for me. It wasn't about this person having a tumor, right? It wasn't an actual tumor, but there was something there in that side of the brain that was not good. And I just believe that I was typing. I was like, I believe that God wants to heal this something in your mind and your way of thinking so that you can have more freedom. I said, I believe that God is bringing enlightenment into your life for you to be able to think even more clearly than you ever have before. I don't do these things very often. So I don't want you guys to think that this is happening like on a daily basis. I'm sending messages. I'm saying that it's messy and being from home is a little bit strange, but I think we need to remind ourselves that we are not just here. We are connected to the heavenly realms. We are connected to His truth. We're connected to the Holy Spirit, and God can move through us right here, right now. Both of those were just messages I sent. I hate calling people on the phone I don't know well. I get anxious about it. I used to have my mom when I was younger make calls for me. And I still have a hard time with that. If I don't know someone well, it's hard for me to call. God still moved through text messages, I'm just saying. But in those things, God is saying we are in Him. We are a part of Him. His kingdom reigns in us and can flow through us. This time, this pandemic, this season, it's weird. It's so weird, right? I mean, it's going on 4 weeks, right? Of like not being with my students, and Joel's now been here 3 weeks, and it feels like every day is the same day, but then I look back, I'm like, oh my gosh, 3 weeks flew by, right? So it's like, it's this weird like place, like, is today Monday? And like, I have to write down what I do, or I forget if I worked out the day before. I'm like, am I supposed to work out today again? You know, like I feel like in this weird flux. But God's still speaking. God is still moving. And God loves you and He's with you. And so in this, we are resurrected with Him because we died with Him. And because of that, we are connected, united with Him in a new covenant. We have the ability to hear for people, to hear from people, to hear from Him, and to still move and allow His power to move. I'm glad that I took those risks and those steps to just send those messages. You know, we're all feeling isolated, and just to have somebody that thinks about you and cares, you know? And I was like, if this doesn't mean anything, please don't like freak out about this, but God showed me a dream that you had a tumor in your left. You know, like, I'm like, I don't know what to do with this, you know? But then as I stepped out, God gave me more revelation in that. I want to encourage you. There are ways to love people. It may not be a dream that you get, but it might. Pay attention, right? Like a lot of other things have kind of had to go to the side, even though we're busy during the day. It's our time is more focused. It's interesting. You know, I'm busy, but it's like, it's focused on things because there's a lot of things I can't worry about right now. Cause I'm not planning to get together with people. I'm not, you know, like doing all these other different things. Like it's simplified some stuff, but I think we need to be cognizant. Thank you. Be cognizant of our thoughts, our dreams, and do something with. And if you need somebody to bounce something off, you're like, hey, I was feeling this for this person, or like I had this dream, call me. You know, let's process it. I call people. I'm like, I don't know what to do with this. I've never had a dream about somebody with a tumor, and you know, but it meant something to him. because it showed this person that God's like, I want to deal with this in your heart. This isn't good for you. And because he realized that, it's like, okay, in this time, let's deal with it. It brought it to a head. Well, that's powerful. Good things are going to come from that. So taking a step out, listening, knowing that you are connected to Christ, you are seated next to the Father, you have access to knowledge and truth and the power of the Holy Spirit, even in isolation, in lockdown, in pandemic, in, you know, cerveza virus life, you know? Johnny G used that, and I'm now using it too. So anyway, Corona, cerveza, okay, anyway. So I want you guys to unmute. And people, I love you on the interwebs. I hope that that blesses you. You're powerful. He is risen. You are risen with him. I love you all. Bye.